You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, a fast and furious first hour here on the program. Let me recap just so you know where I'm getting my information from or what my information is, and it has to do with college football. This is a great college football source, and I was in touch with him last night because we were starting to hear that the Power Five conferences, the presidents were getting together, commissioners getting together, and they were going to decide on the college football season. My source says, commissioners met tonight. They're the only ones who can alter things. Spring football is not the answer. The virus isn't going away. How could a school play basketball, hockey, swimming, soccer, football, volleyball in one semester? Then my source this morning, just after 8 a.m. East Coast time, Big Ten, Pac-12 will cancel tomorrow. ACC, Big 12 on the fence. SEC trying to get a delay and have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts to see if maybe they could get the ACC and or Big 12 to join them. My source said three Big Ten teams I've spoken with said it's done tomorrow. And then I said, would the SEC go alone? And my source said, that's the latest. They're trying to buy time and see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them. And I wanted to know, the Big Ten, their presidents voted, not athletic directors. And two of the presidents wanted to play in the Big Ten. And I said, probably not going to be the schools that you thought would be the ones leading the charge. Nebraska and Iowa were the two schools I was told their presidents wanted to play football. I hate being the bearer of bad news here, but I'm just giving you the information. I want college football. I've had people tweet here. This is a sample. Why don't you guys have Joel Klatt on to balance out Pat Forty? Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated joined us last hour. You want to be unbiased. Go get a viewpoint from why college football can happen. If the presidents don't think this can happen, I don't care what Joel Klatt has to say. I'd have Joel on. Great football analyst there. Look, we want this to happen. That doesn't mean it happens. I'm not rooting against college football. So Pat Forty didn't come on and say, hey, I'm only going to come on if I can be negative. I am unbiased. I would have Joel Klatt on, but what's he going to tell me? Hey, we should have football. Great. I want to have an athletic director. I want to have a coach on. I'd like to have Scott Frost from Nebraska on. Scott, if you're listening, I'd like to have you on. Can we pull this off? Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Coach Saban, Coach Sweeney, have them on. We've reached out, Trevor Lawrence. We'd love to know how we can pull this off. But understand, this isn't my agenda here. I don't have anything attached to this other than I have a source who told me what the information is. Use it however you want to. But don't paint me as somebody who is against college football. As I've said before, why would I root against something that makes my job tougher? If there's no college football, that takes away a large portion of what we talk about on this program. And watching, personally, love it. Any night of the week, I'm watching. I watch the noon games on Saturday. That'll tell you how much I love college football. Usually Maryland playing against Rutgers. But I'm not rooting against this. I know Joel Klatt said, many in the college football media have worked hard to push panic and fear. See many prominent players push back tonight. Good for them. Hey, take charge. I'm not pushing panic and fear. Joel, I am pushing reality. Not that you've singled me out here. You said the college football media. I'm not pushing any fear or panic. I am dealing with just the reality of what is happening right in front of us. This is hour to hour, folks. Can it all change? And I said that from the beginning of the show. Yes, it can change. But I don't know what has changed in a week that got us to this point. Big Ten had its schedule 5 days ago. Big Ten put out its schedule. I went, okay. ACC, SEC put out their schedule. Okay. What changed? Nothing. Except for we're probably not having football this fall. So I don't know. I'd love to hear from an athletic director or president or coach. Because I think the reality set in. I think coaches were in denial of trying to pull this off. That's all. But in no way am I rooting against this. And Fritzy, if you want to reach out to Joel Klatt, I mean, if Joel can advance this and tell me, okay, how do you pull this off? Just because you say, hey, prominent players push back tonight, good for them. Great. All for Trevor Lawrence leading the charge. Trevor Lawrence, a couple of days ago, said he thought about sitting out, opting out, not playing. So he had doubts. I don't know what's changed. I'd love to hear that. Can we pull it off? All ears. And if we got information to bring you, happy to bring. I would love to have had led the show with this information. We're going to have college football. It's going to start. And 5 days ago, I led with the Big Ten releasing its conference schedule. So I'm looking at this, and I want to be positive with it. And then people say, well, you were negative with the NBA. I didn't think they could pull it off. I don't think baseball can pull this off. They started, they're going to stumble all the way to the playoffs, and that's all they want to do. The NFL is going to start on time. I don't know if they finish, but they start on time. And there's no, you know, weaponizing this. We're past that. I told you. I just deal with the reality of what this is. What's in front of me, not who's involved in it, behind the scenes, people, you know, the politics involved in it. I don't play that game. I don't want to because it's a winless battle. And it's worthless as far as the time spent on that. Nobody's convincing somebody to change their thoughts on this. But when it comes to the virus, I'm just dealing with this as you are, as a parent with four kids, as you know, a parent who has a one more child going back to college here on Thursday. I'm dealing with the same things you are. All we're trying to do is get answers and understand this. But if you want to continue to badger on Twitter and say that I'm not being unbiased here, go ahead. Because I can't help you. You already have your mind made up. But if we can get college football, even if it's the SEC, I'd be great. Mid-American Conference canceled. Why? For two reasons. Northern Illinois said, we're not playing. And the Mid-American Conference goes, wow, we'll look bad if we're playing and they're not. They shut it down. Also, I'm told they didn't have the money for testing. Big Five conferences, you have the money. And if you can do it, then great. I hope you can pull it off. I mean, we've gone from, remember Tennessee? Tennessee was going to have 100,000 fans at their football games. I said, I'll take the under. Yeah, see.
Where's the NCAA in all this?
Yeah.
I mean, they're oddly quiet.
Oh, you're being serious.
I mean, yeah. How does the NCAA even survive this? As an organization,
I don't think they do.
I mean, it should just be disbanded or whatever.
I think they're the artist formerly known as the NCAA, where you just go, guys, are you involved in this at all? And they're not. It's the Power Five conferences, the commissioners, presidents, athletic directors. Yes, yeah,
you really do get the sense that college sports is going to look drastically different in the next year or two.
Yeah, I agree. They are. A couple of phone calls here. Poll question, McLovin. What do you have?
Do you think they should have a college football season this year? No surprise, 81% say yes. I mean, I guess that's not really a fair question because that's really asking, do you want a college football season? Yeah. We all want it.
Yes. Yeah, I want it to happen. I'm just being realistic about this. If you can pull it off, great. I was front and center and say, you know what? I misjudge what the NBA was able to pull off here. Baseball has done a horrible job. You know, I don't know how many games. Can you say you must play a minimum of 45 games this year? Because you're not going to play 60. The fact that, and I just saw this, and I think it's true, that the Miami Marlins are going to play 15 games in 11 days with four doubleheaders. Okay. If you can do it, and I don't know who they're getting on their pitching staff. Like, they're bringing guys off the street. I think they just signed a guy who was a speed skater in Sochi in the Olympics. I'm being serious, which sounds like a really neat story. He's now on the Marlins roster. They're bringing in guys just to fill up the roster here. The Cardinals situation, and then it's not fair to the teams that have quarantined, that have been good. And then you have that idiot bench coach with the Astros who starts chirping at one of the Oakland A's players who got hit a couple of times in the series over the weekend. You know the name of the bench coach there with the Astros?
Do you have Cintron, right? Alex Cintron, I think.
Yeah. I would suspend him the rest of the season because you are told not to incite anything. You're not supposed to have anything with bench clearing. And you're a coach. You should be stopping things. And then he's going to chirp, and then he's going to hide behind his players. And then you have bench clearing. I would sit him down. You know, the player, Joe Kelly, got 8 games there. But I don't want to lose a player for the season. And you know, the player for the Oakland A's, he had a legitimate beef. He had been hit a couple of times in the series and thought maybe they were throwing at him. And then you have this bench coach who's chirping there, and then they all bench is clear here. I'd sit him down. I would say, you know what? This is how serious we are with this nonsense. You, see ya. Go home. Yeah, see.
Yeah, because as you know, if you're a player, you get you understand the idea of competition, and it gets heated, and then you start fighting. That happens. It's totally reasonable. But if you're a bench coach, yeah. What the hell are you doing?
I would have been on the phone. If I'm the commissioner, I would have been on the phone. I would have called the dugout, and I would have said, Holmes, see ya. Yes, Paulie.
Or the bench coach should have to fight the player. You can't start a fight and then run behind three players. You're a bench coach. You're wearing basically sweatpants. You got to go back out there. And if he wants to go back, he's got to fight the play.
All right. Let's get some phone calls in here. Rick in Virginia joins us. Rick, good morning. Best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Dan. The best is this kid, Andre Jimenez, for the Mets. He played second last night, went 3-for-4. I think he's batting like 340. He's 21.
Nice.
He got his first hit last week and then got picked off. And I said, this guy's going to be a great Met. And I'm a diehard Mets fan. Anyhow, he got the baseball. The worst is a funny worst. I'm listening to Howie Rose and Wayne Randazzo, and Wayne gets a tweet saying they're listening in the U.K., and then about a little bit later, Howie says, hey, they're listening in North Korea also in London. And Wayne says, I don't think they're listening in North Korea. And he was just reading off the telephone. I don't know what they do. I don't have TV or anything. I listen to satellite radio. And he came back a little while later and said, I got another tweet. And he was having fun with himself. And the guy tweets in, hey, we're listening in Long Island because we can't book a flight to North Korea. And it was just good, clean fun. See if you guys can pull it up. But, hey, have a good day, and thanks for taking
All right. Call. Thank you, Rick. Yeah, see.
That's baffled.
He was on a roll. I didn't want to
interrupt. We're getting a lot of those lately.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you.
It's like a stream of consciousness from somebody else's show.
I think, you know, that we're quarantined or, you know, we've been in our house and we just want somebody to talk to. You know, our wives are tired of listening to us, so we're like, hey, come here. Like, you know, Fritzy's like that every day. But, you know, you get the feeling with some of our callers are like, hey, I just want somebody to listen to this story. Yeah, Paul.
I have a theory that maybe our call screening line is getting crossed with another show. We're getting callers who are listening to an entirely different type of sports show.
Or it's like Coast to Coast. Yeah. Is still somehow. Remember that show? Is all
Art
like
Bell?
Conspiracy theories and stuff.
Yeah, someone's listening to Art Bell.
Are you blaming Marvin the Prince that he's not doing a great job screening calls?
Back to you, Dan.
All right. So the Mets starting lineup on Friday night, prior to the game against Miami, was sponsored. So, you know, they always have that. You know, they're trying to throw in any kind of sponsorship. And the New York Mets starting lineup Friday night was a New York area party planning company. And the name of the company is Send In The Clowns. Like, you can't make that up. And tonight's starting lineup, New York Mets, sponsored by Send In The Clowns. No, that's the name of the company, not the lineup here. Send In The Clowns. By the way, Miami Marlins 4, sending the Clowns 3 on Friday night. Oh, man. I'm looking at the Marlins roster here. They played only 10 games. They have used a total of 45 different players. No other team has used as many as 40 players. And I started to look at the roster. They have a guy named Morin, M-O-R-A-N, another guy named Morin, M-O-R-I-N. Two pitchers are named Josh Smith and a former Olympic medalist in speed skating. There's your Miami Marlins. Yes, Todd.
That would be infielder Eddie Alvarez that you're referring to.
Eduardo Alvarez. Yes. Jesse in Los Angeles is back. Hi, Jess. What do you have for me?
Hey, good morning, Dan Stradamus.
How are you, bud?
Hey, it was about 2 months ago after his playoff hole loss at Union Berger that you put myself and Dan Nation on notice about Colin Morikawa. And yesterday, you guys did it. So congrats on the Wanamaker Trophy.
Yep.
I have a best in the best here, if that's okay.
Okay.
Hearing you guys on Friday was my best podcast, the last 15 minutes of the show. You guys cracking up and roasting the old J.J. Watt good-ass dudes clip. It was spectacular. And then the
Paulie, did you hear from J.J. Watt this weekend?
It's going to be a quiet fall from J.J.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Continue, Jess.
My bester, I assume you haven't seen it because of all the things going on, but it's worth a look if you haven't. Leo Messi's goal versus Napoli in the Champions League. It was through three defenders, falling down, bending it past the goalkeeper. Unbelievable.
Yep.
That's all. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you, Jess. I watched it twice. They didn't have a great angle other than one that from afar with Messi. But he falls down, and then he's almost falling down again, and then left-footed. And I don't even know how he saw that. I go back to a conversation I had with Pete Sampras, one of the great tennis players of all time. And I said, how would you do against Roger Federer? And he said, he sees shots like I would never even think of the shot. He sees the shot and plays a shot. Like the creative minds that you have with today's athletes, that they'll see something, you go, how did you see that? And that's what I immediately thought of when I saw Messi. Like, I don't see any opening there with the goalkeeper. And he somehow squeezed it in. Yeah, see?
I saw somebody once talking about how to describe how Messi is great. And they said, like, if you look at it, somebody like Neymar, right? Neymar is a magician. He does all of this crazy footwork, and he's got these insane skills, right? But Messi just does simple things great. He doesn't do all of these crazy fancy tricks, but he just has a simple way of being great, and it's just simple touches. It's really remarkable.
Well, when we had Landon Donovan on, and I just said, explain his greatness, and I think it's hard for them to describe it because you're looking at it and you're going, okay, it doesn't look special, but it is special. You know, a lot of these guys, it's about look at me, how I do something. Messi, he's not impressive size-wise, probably speed-wise, strength-wise. You just look at it, and it's like Gretzky. Gretzky was somebody that you just couldn't explain to somebody. And Messi is probably a reincarnation of Gretzky with his ability to just do things where you go, wow, that seemed pretty simple, and it's not. We'll check in with our good buddy, Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports TNT sideline reporter. He'll join us from the bubble. More phone calls coming up as well. And I got my phone with me today. So if I have anything else from my college football source, I'll let you know. It's fluid right now. It's hour to hour. Maybe we get good news. Maybe the Big Ten, Pac-12 reconsider, and they do have football. I'm hopeful. But right now, it doesn't feel that way. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Chris Haynes. You know, when the Clippers lose, it's not a big deal. Clippers lost to the Nets. When the Lakers lose, it's a big deal. We'll talk to Chris about that. And also this little feud going on between Damian Lillard and the Clippers. I love it. So a few things to talk to Chris about and more phone calls as well. 21 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app, by searching FSR. Oakland A's, Houston Astros had that bench-clearing incident. Houston pitching had hit four batters in 12 games prior to their series in Oakland. In three games in Oakland, the Astros hit five batters. So I know that they're feeling picked on here. The last five games, they've lost all five, outscored 32-16, batting average under 200, and the team ERA is over six. Nobody's going to have any sympathy for the Astros, and that bench coach, I'd sit him down and not let him coach the rest of this season after inciting, you know, the bench clearing incident there with the Oakland A's. You know, the player is going to be suspended as well from Oakland, but a coach should not be inciting something there. You're supposed to stop fights. Chris Haynes, he's a peacemaker. Yahoo's senior NBA insider, working with NBA on TNT as a sideline reporter and host of Post It Up with Chris Haynes. The podcast covered the Blazers' loss to the Clippers. Pacers win over the Lakers on Saturday, and you got the Blazers-Mavs tomorrow on TNT. How's morale inside the bubble, Chris?
Well, I think it's depending on who you talk to, Dan. You know, some teams are, you know, mathematically eliminated, and they're eager to get off campus as soon as that last game concludes. So for them, they're ecstatic.
What kind of gossip you got going on down there? Not just basketball-wise. What are you hearing? What's the word on the street?
Gossip, DP. What you looking for, DP?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I just kind of curious here. You're a man about town. You got your ear to the ground there.
I do. I do have my ear to the ground. You know, sometimes my ear goes in places that shouldn't go, DP. I'll say this, DP. Overall, the guys are doing an unbelievable job with social distancing and staying in their rooms and not bringing any, you know, company in the room. And they're following orders and protocols from what I can see, DP. So I'll leave it at that.
Is there recruiting going on? Do you think a super team emerges from the bubble next year? That one day we'll look back on the bubble and these players will say, yeah, we all got together and that's how we came up with this idea.
I think it's inevitable. I don't know if a super team will be formed from this, but I think it's inevitable that recruiting is going on. And I'm not saying recruiting, I've seen it, but I remember the first few days I was here when I was one of the lone reporters here on campus, and Donovan Mitchell and Kyle Kuzma were walking around together looking for food and actually came into the dining area, which I was eating. And I just saw, you know, I just found that fascinating. And you know, those guys, they're close. I believe the same draft. And I just found it fascinating. But that was just the first time I seen guys intermingling with other guys on other teams. And so, no, I think it's inevitable that there will be recruiting taking place here. Super team, I don't know if super team, but no, for sure. Everybody's congregating. It's bound to happen.
I mentioned that when the Lakers lose, it's headlines. When the Clippers lose, it's not. When the Bucks lose, like it's not headline worthy. But with the Lakers, you know, they ended up losing. They've lost a few in a row here. Their offense is supposed to be suspect here. Are there real concerns about the Lakers as they go into the playoffs?
No, I think there's valid concerns. I mean, they're trying to put in incorporate a few more pieces into the fold. You know, they're trying to get Deion Waiters in, J.R. Smith. You know, obviously they were without Rajon Rondo, and their offense I believe is still last during this bubble right now. And so they were one of the hottest teams before this hiatus. So there's definitely concern going into the playoffs.
But if you start to look at, you know, the Clippers lost last night to the Nets. Now, I don't know if they cared about winning that game. Like, do we ignore that the Clippers lost to the Nets last night?
Nah, because look at what Doc did in that game against the Portland Trailblazers. He sat Paul George. He sat his main guys in the fourth quarter of the game. And so there are people who think that they're trying to make sure L.A. has a tough out in that first round, because they were basically looked like they were trying to get Portland that game. And that's the game that, you know, ended up starting a little verbal feud with Damian Lillard, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley. And Dame missed two free throws toward the end of the game, and they lost. And so Clippers, they're fine with where they're at. And I think for the most part, we understand, you know, how the Clippers do about resting guys and doing the load management. So their losses aren't criticized more so than the Lakers, because it's the Lakers and LeBron and those guys. They tend to play every game.
Explain to me this feud with Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley and Paul George.
Well, look, man, I will say this about Patrick Beverley. He, I believe before this bubble started, he said that Damian Lillard was the toughest player for him to guard. So there's respect there. Like, I didn't expect, you know, the antics Patrick Beverley did, like, that's expected. That's what he does. Paul George, on the other hand, look, I was at this NBA 2K release party last summer, and Dame was there, KD was there, Paul George came later. And so I'm talking with Dame and KD, and then Paul George starts to come over. And so I automatically look at Dame, and Dame spots him, but that was it. But I bring that up because that was the first time Dame has saw Paul George or spoke to Paul George since Paul George, you know, got bounced in the first round by, you know, with that shot from Dame. And Paul at that time said, I believe it was like a lucky shot.
Yeah.
That was a lucky shot he shot. And so Dame sees Paul for the first time. Paul comes over, and I'm watching, like, I want to see this. I knew they haven't spoken and talked before. So Paul comes over, and Dame, you know, they talk, and Paul was like, hey, bro, my bad, man. Like, my bad. I was, you know, I was in my feelings, and, you know what I mean? It was just let the heat of the moment. So Dame, they talked and chatted up and kind of patched things up. But then, now what happened this past time, I don't know how Dame feels. I'm going to talk to him later in an interview today, but I don't know really how he feels about Paul right now.
Well, you had Patrick Beverley, who was falling all over the floor. He was laughing when Lillard missed the two free throws, and Paul George is laughing, and they're chirping there. Those two guys have nothing to chirp about against Damian Lillard.
Yeah, like I said, that's Patrick Beverley. He's going to do that. He does that to LeBron. You know what I mean? So I don't. Hold on, I got room service coming in, right? No house cleaning, please. Thank you. No, not right. Come back in like 30 minutes, please. Thank you. Sorry about that, DP. They come here thoroughly.
Was that Chris Mannix?
No,
that was not Mannix. Oh,
Mannix's not cleaning my room.
Okay,
my room clean. That's not him. But
you weren't ordering food. That was room. That was somebody to clean your room.
Clean my room.
Okay.
I thought it was my food, but it was somebody coming.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll hurry up then. We're talking to Chris Haynes, the Yahoo senior NBA insider, NBA on TNT sideline reporter. He's got Blazers and the Mavs tomorrow on TNT. I've been talking about Luka. And at his age, I said he's better than Larry Bird at this age. Larry was still in college. So then people go, you know, as soon as you say Larry Bird, they're like, yeah, you can't say that. Well, I have to look at what Luka's doing, just the sheer numbers. And I know he's not doing it on a big stage the way Bird did, where they were winning championships. But what Luka is doing now at 21 is everybody as impressive, if not more so, than what Bird was doing at 21 because he was still in college. How do you look at what Luka's doing in the bubble? Because it feels like a lot of guys are putting up some big numbers in the bubble. Are these true, real numbers?
No, these are true, real numbers. Look, man, you can't not dismiss the production that he's giving his team and what he's showing, you know, with the talent he's putting on display. And what I like about him is that he loves the hoop. I spoke to him yesterday. And, you know, he's really big on, like, team camaraderie. It kind of reminds me of LeBron James, how LeBron James likes to have, you know, all of his teammates with him, you know, on off days, just doing things together. And Luka is just a basketball junkie. And so, you know, he loves his atmosphere. You know, he says similar to, you know, over there in Europe, the way, you know, way that they would play and have teams, you know, just at the same location. So he's loving this. And what I like about him, I was able to speak with some of the coaching staff, and it was just like he doesn't overwhelm you with speed, quickness, athleticism. But he has a changing of pace skill that you just can't teach a lot of young guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Like, you may look at him like, he's slow. And he's going by some of the quickest defenders we have in this league. And the reason why he changes his speed, he's really deceptive in that. And then he has a step back that you just – it's unguardable most of the time. So he has an eye for the game, man. He is polished. I think it's a valid comparison when you talk about Larry Bird, because he was the same way. Somebody who wasn't overly quick, but just knew how to use his speed just right to get past the opponent.
And that's why when I look at Luka, when people say, "Well, would you rather have Luka or Zion?" I said, "I'm gonna bet on Luka." Because he's not in a race against his body. Zion is in a race against his body, and, you know, he hasn't looked in shape. And I don't know what he's going to be like in 5 years. I don't know if he is larger. He's not as explosive as he was a year ago at Duke. So I don't think it's an argument there. Luka would be by far and away who I would take. Zion might bring in more seats, more eyeballs. But, you know, now you have the Pelicans who bowed out. What do you make of their look at big picture with the Pelicans. Because Lonzo was really disappointing in the bubble. But I do like that they're young, and I love Ingram there as well. But what do they need?
Well, they need Zion to stay healthy, first and foremost. That's the cornerstone of that franchise. And how he goes, I think the franchise is going to go as well. With that being said, you know, they have a decision to make with Brandon Ingram. He's a free agent this offseason. I was actually surprised Brandon came and played in this restart. You know, he played so well during the course of the season that it was like I felt like he might be one of those guys to say, you know what, my value can't go anything but down if I go and play. But look, DP, they're excited. But look, I want to get to Zion. I'm going to stay on that because he's the guy when you're talking about the Pelicans, man. Like, they have to figure something out. And obviously, I think if you look at the actions of the Pelicans and how they handled Zion, either he wasn't completely healthy, but, you know, they denied that, or they really didn't value this restart. And it wasn't a main priority because they had the easiest schedule. Mm-hmm. And so most people were feeling like, you know, the league was trying to make sure the Pelicans got in there. And the league, you know, if the league did that or not, we don't know. But the Pelicans sure didn't take advantage of that or didn't try to take advantage of that. So that leads me to believe that they're playing a long game with him, want to make sure that he's healthy moving forward. But, you know, if that kid, if he's not able to get it together physically, they're going to be in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, I know. Draymond Green, who's not in the bubble, was on TNT, and he was, you know, trying to provide some headlines there. And he said the following about Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns.
Asking me about Patrick.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but
wow.
They got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
Well, that cost him 50 large there. What did you make of Draymond Green?
Well, I was actually on a boat fishing when I broke that, that he was getting $50,000. So that's the first time I've been on a boat breaking the story. But I'll say that. I'll say, look, it's unfortunate. I understand why the league has to do that. But, you know, he was on TNT. He was on a show where, you know, they have personalities. And Draymond is a personality. Like, I think he's going to be great for TV, for his personality and for his analysis that he provides. But that's the part of the player where, you know, you get on those platforms and, you know, you still aren't free. You're not free like Chuck are. You know, you're still a player.
Yeah.
You know, you're still an active player. So that's the tough spot about being put in those roles when you're an active player. Like, you want to come out and say some of the things that you truly believe, but then you get penalized for doing so because you're active. So, you know, I think he learned that's a hefty fine on your day off. When you're in the offseason, you know, that's pretty happy right there.
And Ernie Johnson didn't help him by saying, are you tampering?
Yeah, but DP, I think what got on that fine was the fact that he said Devin Booker needs to get out of Phoenix.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. I don't think necessarily the tee up by Ernie say, are you tampering? Because I think once you're saying a player needs to get out of Phoenix, that was it.
But was Draymond correct in saying that Devin Booker needs to get out?
Well, now you try to do what Ernie did.
You can't get fined for tampering.
I can't get fined, but I can hear it from the Suns if I say something like that. I'm paying my place.
You know what? I'll pay for your room service if you know, if you get yelled at by the Phoenix Suns. Hey, great to see you, Chris, and have fun with the Blazers and the Mavs. Who has more points between Damian Lillard and Luka tomorrow night?
I'm going with Dame, DP.
Yeah. 40? Over-under is 40 for Dame.
I'm going 40.
You'll go over? Okay. All right. Great to talk to you, Chris. Thanks for joining us as always.
Take care, my guy.
That's Chris Haynes, Yahoo's senior NBA insider. You'll see him on the sidelines of the Mavs and the Blazers coming up tomorrow. Take a break. Phone calls are next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Go to rockauto.com for all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Rockauto.com, a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving you direct access to the parts information hidden in computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they want to make sure those parts are affordable. They offer reliably low prices. Rockauto.com. Choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime, 24/7. Rockauto.com even has a lot of the parts you've been told dealer only are no longer available. Parts are delivered right to your home or office. You don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you all the parts your car, truck, wherever need. rockauto.com. Best and worst of the weekend. Let me get a couple of phone calls out of here, out of the way. They've been holding for quite some time. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff. Welcome back.
Hey, what up, though, Dan? One time for Chat Row. As I'm sitting here thinking, Roger Goodell is in one of the best positions because he gets a chance to see what works, what doesn't work. I kind of liken it to the one wildebeest that's crossing the river with all of the crocodiles, and he's waiting on the right chance to get across. And hopefully he gets to the other side. So that's what I'm hoping for the NFL. They get on the right side of things, man, because this is really, really crazy. My best and worst of the weekend. My best is going to – well, let's start with the worst. The worst is Dame Lillard missing two free throws and a straight-on three. That would have given them the lead against the Clippers. My best is going to be the Backroom Bros. That 12:15 podcast is pure gold. Ty Fritz, you the man. Listen, when Ty speaks, you got to put a seatbelt on because he's going to give you a lot of information in a short period of time. But the one thing about Ty, what everybody loves, the guy's genuine. You get real Ty all day, all the time.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day. So the Backroom guys have their own podcast. It's called the 12:15 Club, and it's every Friday. After Meet Friday, then they have their podcast. I was their first guest, their first episode. That was the previous week. And then they brought in Fritzy for this past Friday. Now, Todd talked on the show last week about cheating, and he didn't understand what cheating is or was. Cheating on tests in school. And he graduated second in his class in high school. And I asked him if he'd ever cheated. And Todd said, well, you know, he might look over at somebody's answer just to compare them. Now, I told the Danettes, now I'm listening to the podcast on Friday. And I said, this is a bombshell, what Todd Fritz is going to admit here. Because you have prided yourself in your academic standing. You say you're a honorable man, and you avoided women all through college to just focus on your education. You did a great job. And Fritzy was asked on the 12:15 podcast about cheating, and this is what Fritzy had to say.
I think I'm going to put my foot in it again by saying this, but it wasn't so much that I changed an answer I already had, but, and I guess this is cheating, but I'll just share it. there might have been a few that I left blank and I had no idea what to write. And then, you know, you look to your left or right and whatever it was, if it was a math test and they wrote 12 and 3 quarters or whatever it was, or 3 times 10 to the negative, and then you write it after having no answer there, I guess that would be cheating. But, you know, sitting there erasing things or crossing things out, that wasn't really my kind of cheating. The only cheating I did was checking with what I wrote was the same, or once in a while, I can't leave it blank. I might as well give it a shot. And if Greg Kirshner to my left or Eddie Lefkowitz to my right, two very bright kids, both have 12 and 3 quarters, and I got nothing, I'm writing 12 and 3 quarters too.
Todd, that's cheating.
That does sound cheating, doesn't it?
No, it is. You said, I guess that's cheating. You don't have something, you have a blank, you look over at Eddie's paper, and you take what he has written down, you're not comparing your answers.
Because if you leave it blank, you're definitely going to get it wrong.
Yes.
You're going to get no credit
for that. But you led us to believe that you were so smart.
It was very occasionally that I did that. But I guess, you know,
but you
I guess
that would be cheating. You cheated.
A lot more was checking an answer I already wrote.
But you cheated.
But there was a couple of times where I'm like, I just don't know what to put there. And they're saying 12 and 3 quarters. These kids are right there, like in the top 10, top 20.
I asked Paulie to try to get a hold of the principal or somebody in the academic community. I think your academics are in jeopardy here.
Big asterisk next to the salutatorium.
Yeah, see.
I think there is just a huge difference, though, between looking at someone's paper and bringing in the answers or having like a cheat sheet. So I think what Todd is admitting to doing is a more socially acceptable form of cheating. And I don't think that his records should be tainted in any way.
He cheated.
I appreciate that.
He didn't really cheat. He just looked at somebody else's paper.
And wrote down the answer.
He didn't write the answers down on like his thigh or something and pull up his shorts to look at them.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I never did that. So I didn't cheat in my academic career either.
No.
And I still didn't graduate anywhere near the top of my class. Yes, Paul.
It's similar to when Todd went into the store with his wife and bought the dishes and walked out without being charged for them for somehow and not bring them back. It's not, he didn't steal the dishes, but he didn't really turn them, bring them back when he had the chance.
I rationalize it by saying these are way overpriced. So it should be, if you think about it, two for the price of one anyway. If you think of all the things that they charge.
If you're going to rationalize, then you would say, man, these questions are so hard. They shouldn't be on a test. They're not fair.
But a couple of plates for $100 and then another couple of plates for another $100. I'm like, this should be $100 for both sets if you think about it anyway. So I'm just going
to. So your status in comparison to McLovin really just slipped quite.
There's some question marks.
Oh, I cheated all the time, too, by the way. I just wouldn't admit it on a podcast. How did you get straight A's in school? You guys obviously were doing it wrong.
I didn't want to put in the effort to cheat. We're going to take a break. Final hour coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Back after this.